Hey, Gingerbread Man, you seem pretty burned. Acapulco?
I wish. I got burned in the old oven again.
Ooh.
Faulty thermostat, uneven heat. Hand me the lotion.
Okay, except you know that's frosting.
I thought it tasted pretty good.
Time for a new stove? Come to the Sears Holiday Preheat Event now and save up to 20% on all Kenmore, up to 10% off Whirlpool and KitchenAid, plus an extra 10% off all appliances with your Sears card. Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore savings range from 5 to 20%. Whirlpool and KitchenAid from 5 to 10%. Offer valid 10-7-2011 to 10-11-2011.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We won't just sell you a few cans of oil. No, we'll sell you a 5-plus quarts jug of Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $13.99 after $7 mail-in rebate. Then, we'll throw in a Purolator Classic oil filter free. If wrestling a live bear would help us get you a better deal, we'd do it while wearing salmon cologne. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Pre-rebate price $20.99. See store for details.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast. It's our third anniversary show. We've been on the air 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we're Nikki and David Nellis, and this is D.C.'s only food and wine variety show.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to mention the dinner we had last night at Tara Sushi.
Well, it's
Sushi.
Not just our anniversary on the radio show.
It's our 15th wedding anniversary.
15 too. Years.
Luckiest woman in America.
Let
me just say that
before
someone else doesn't. But you might be dead.
No, I was hoping you'd be dead. But anyway, whatever.
That ain't nice. No, there go the insurance policy.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about the show today. Jeff and Barbara Black have just added to the cool mix of things to do and eat and drink down on 14th Street
mm-hmm.
with the Pearl Dive Oyster Palace and the Blackjack Bar, which is up on top of it. And Jeff's in with the Wilder Brothers, mixologists Ari and Micah, who are making another return to the show.
Yeah, it's like
because we enjoy good booze, and they're going to talk shop.
Right, and so Oktoberfest is coming, and we've talked about it a couple times.
Wunderbar.
Yes, it's excellent. It's so exciting.
I also
but
know how to say.
Steve Menino from Rustico is in. He's got a whole menu of goods that he is dishing up, and we're going to hear all about it. And
wait,
I know you want to do this.
Wait,
so do it.
Up in the
it?
Sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Supergirl.
Good. You got that out of your
system. Actually, that's super as in soup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so a DC native, Sarah Pollan, is in. She has brought in an array of soups. I've already had some. They're scrumptious. And she's going to talk about her vegan and kosher soups that she's dishing up.
Did we say it right? Pollen or Poland?
Pollen. What did I say?
You said pollen.
I said it
like
wrong.
What bees do.
Sorry.
You're bad.
Okay.
And I have to ask now, I'm going to ask a refined question. Tea, anyone?
Okay.
Today it's kind of business unusual when our, you know, our usual alcohol-inspired drink segment takes on some classic class and good taste with chef and tea expert Lori Bell. Lori, let's kind of start with you. Hello.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. Thanks so much for joining us this
Certainly
morning.
My pleasure.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into tea?
How I got into tea. Well, I grew up in a food family. My mom was a nutritionist and a dietitian. I started drinking tea with my grandmother when I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. But I had the opportunity to live in France for 4 years, went to the Cordon Bleu, have my grand diplôme from there, came back to the States.
Does that mean big diploma?
Yes, it does indeed.
Ouais, la toilette.
It does indeed. As a matter of fact,
that's all the French we know. That's it.
Mon Dieu, mon ami.
Madame Broussard, the owner of the school that Julia didn't like
Madame
in that
Toussaud.
Movie.
Okay,
I'm
let
sorry.
Her speak.
In that movie, Julie and Julia, yes. That was the same owner when I went there.
Really?
Yeah, indeed. So it's a lot of fun watching that movie. But in any case, I had a catering business for 15 years, continued to drink tea, and when I sold the business, I wanted to expand my knowledge of on tea, so I studied with the Specialty Tea Institute, learned that there's a lot more than those tea fannings in tissue bags that you plop up and down in a teacup.
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands of kinds of teas, just like all the cultivars there are with wine. There are many, many cultivars in tea. It all comes from the same plant, but depending on the terroir and how it's processed, we get lots and lots of varieties. So,
well, I have to say, I don't drink coffee. I'm a tremendous, tremendous tea drinker. I'm like hooked on green. I drink gallons of it a day.
She actually has an intravenous.
I do. I think it's a better way to drink it, quite frankly. And I mean, with all the antioxidants in there, I think my aging is going backwards at this point. But so tell us
You're
about
a smart woman.
Not everyone agrees.
So. Well, that's okay.
And I'm while we're talking, I'll pass down. This is some Dragon Well Green,
okay,
called Long Jing or Long Jing. It's an imperial tribute tea.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be drunk only by the imperial court in the
God, it's
in
so fragrant.
China. And it's so different than the green tea bag teas that you find in the grocery store.
Okay, well, tell us about the difference so people can understand.
The difference between green tea and black tea. Well, all tea grows from the same plant, Camellia sinensis. A couple different varieties. But to make green tea, once it's picked and withered, they heat it right away to stop the oxidation. It's the oxidation that would cause it to turn black,
okay,
like we're used to. You know, if you cut an apple in half, you expose it to the air, it turns brown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the tea leaves are broken up, so the enzymes inside the leaves are exposed to the air, they'll start to change flavor and they'll change the color of the tea leaf. That's what happens with black tea.
Okay.
So to prevent that from happening in green tea, they'll fire the tea, which is, of course, just stopping the oxidation process. They're heating it.
Mm-hmm.
Tea can be shaped in all different forms. I've got this little basket with all of these little varieties. You can see tea leaves come in all different shapes and sizes. White tea is...
Well, okay, we're going to...
You know what? Let's do, because I want to... We should... Like, smell those.
I know. So when we come back to you,
okay,
we'll get into all the different varieties,
great,
of tea and how they all come together.
Because now,
yes,
because he's got to get back to his kitchen, we want,
right,
to quickly talk to Jeff Black. Chefs Jeff and Barbara Black are our neighbors, or were our neighbors. You,
yeah, then they
out.
Moved.
Moved down the street.
You're too good for us now, aren't you, pal? And they're proprietors of some of the area's really most beloved and popular restaurants, places like Black's in Bethesda and Black Salt down on MacArthur Boulevard,
mm-hmm,
our little boutique-y Black Market out in Garrett Park.
That
and
we love.
Addie's and more. And now they planted a stake in the ground on the really the hottest stretch of turf in Washington's restaurant scene, and that's 14th Street. They've got a new seafood restaurant called Pearl Dive Oyster Palace.
Oh, my God. He almost made the mistake.
And,
everybody does.
Black Pearl, Black this, Black. And there's a cool bar on top called Black Jack.
Yes.
Okay. So
not Jack Black.
Ask a question. That's like the longest intro ever.
Well, why another restaurant? Why
real quick, congratulations on 3 years and 15 years. So.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
She really is the luckiest.
Yeah.
So, but why down there? Because that's not your usual.
It's just a great neighborhood. We're very picky about our neighborhoods, and we pay a lot of attention. And I've watched Neighbor for a while. We've looked at it and never been able to get a deal together. So we finally got a deal pulled together, and I got a really strong crew of people working for me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the space and the place and how you came up with your concept.
Well, I've always wanted to do a sort of lower price, divey kind of oyster bar concept, and the space is pretty big, and I don't like big restaurants.
Okay, when you say oyster bar, are we talking, you know, because I think with lobster shacks and all different kinds of seafood concepts, what do you consider an oyster bar? Like, where, what region of the world is that?
This is very southern Gulf Coast inspired,
okay,
which is very, a little bit different than some of the oyster bars in town,
mm-hmm,
which tend to take more of a Maine, you know, New England sort of approach.
Sure.
So we have a lot of influences from the South.
Mm-hmm.
The rolls we serve are my grandmother's recipe.
Is that what we were eating?
She actually has passed away. She's Addie. We named our first restaurant after her. She taught me how to cook. But
she taught you well.
She did. Thank you. But it's you know, it's this, we're not, this is a fun restaurant. It's meant to be a fun restaurant. And upstairs, we really wanted to get totally different than Pearl Dive. So upstairs, Blackjack is completely different. And the Waller brothers can sort of speak to that when they get there. Their cue, but
well, do you want to segue to them right now?
And then
we'll
come back
to you.
Sure,
all right. Hi guys, thanks so much for joining us today. So you're mixing up a cocktail, but tell us a little bit about the upstairs and what people can expect up there.
Pony up to that mic.
Yeah. Well, upstairs we're shooting for a much more cocktail centric vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a much like larger elaborate list of cocktails upstairs.
How many cocktails?
Right now we're at about 11.
Around 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can order whatever you want.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
And Micah and the beverage director for BRG actually selected a huge, amazing, diverse spirit selection, probably the best back bar, I would say, in the city. I mean, it features pretty much every progressive American whiskey.
I know,
bourbon.
I paid for it. Yeah. Trust me.
You have something you're not eating. You better say that, yo.
And they're really inexpensive because they only make like 5 or 6 cases of some of this stuff a year, which we were able to allocate some. So yeah, it's a great selection. Great cocktail.
Well, as you're crafting your cocktails for somebody like Jeff, I mean, did you guys work in tandem together to come up with a cocktail list? Did you guys already know what you wanted, or were you just trying to read his mind? How did you come up with
what
you were
doing? It was the best job interview in the history of mankind. I sat and drank for hours.
Yeah, that sounds so unlike you.
Five or six times.
We had 5 or 6 elaborate tastings with Jeff and the rest of our management team. So, yeah, we finally all decided on a really isolated list of all of the tastings. I think banged out like 25 originally, and we ended up where we're at now. So.
And these guys do a great job taking variations of classics, and that's the way I try and cook.
Well, so you're going to make something here today.
Wait. Where are you guys from? No. Where are you from? Were you born?
That's a confusing answer.
We were born in Bethesda area, and then we grew up in San Francisco and moved back and forth.
Because you got that kind of a mix of West Coast and Southern delivery there, both of you.
That's right. What we're going for.
I just needed to know.
So what are you guys going to make today?
One of our cocktails upstairs in Blackjack is called a Bull's Blood, because in the bocce court, there's a beautiful, huge bull's head up on the wall. So we want to do something that would kind of parallel that. It's a fall smash kind of cocktail. It's a scotch base. We're doing starting off with some brandy cherries, oranges, and lemons, cherry nectar. And then we're adding 2 ounces of Talisker 10 scotch. And then, and a...
Don't spill in the studio.
Don't say whoops in a radio studio.
Wait, you're not over-pouring on me, because I'm paying for this.
This is a...
glug, whoops.
This came from our personal selection.
Okay, there you go.
Good to know.
And
keep it
it's
up.
3/4 ounce of Dolan sweet vermouth. And some cocoa bitters.
Yum.
So it's a nice warm.
It's kind of like similar to...
While you guys are finishing on that, I want to get back to Jeff, because...
Well, let's
you
talk
got
about
a whole
the bocce
variety.
Court.
Well, no, I don't want to talk bocce ball. Right. I want to talk oysters. What's the range in sort of the varieties of oysters that we
well,
can get?
Well, just last night we had Bellons, European flats in from Maine. They're harvested wild. They only harvest about 5,000 a year. We get them when we can get them. We got some last night. We had 3 varieties of Gigas, the West Coast varieties. We had 4 or 5 Virginicas, which are all off the East Coast. I think we ran with 9 different.
Well, so how does it work? I mean, they've got to come in packed in ice to keep them alive, and that's even the ones from Europe have to be what, FedExed?
Yeah, the European flats actually they don't allow the European oysters into the United States right now. There's a pocket. There's some virus, but it's they originated from France, the Bellons, but they're harvested in Maine.
Got it.
But we get them in. We get them air freighted in. I have a fishmonger that brings stuff in. We get it. No, literally 24, 48 hours out of the water.
Wow. Well, so on that, I mean, you know, all of your restaurants do have some sort of seafood notes to them.
Yep.
So how does this restaurant differ? And what's on the menu? I mean, how does it change? How is it different from Black Salt or Black's? How have you evolved for this restaurant, for this area?
Well, this one, we've really kept the cooking kind of rustic. So it's a lower price point than Black Salt. It's meant to be a little more approachable menu. Now,
music to my ears.
Unfortunately, we're so busy.
Just
it's kind of hard
cheap
to get a table.
And he's there.
But
remember that Supergirl.
But a lot of this cooking is stuff I grew up. And as a child, I would go fishing with my father, and we would go to the oyster beds and we'd open oysters.
So,
right,
are you
water.
Saying like the dishes that you brought in is the kind of stuff you were eating growing up?
A lot of it.
Really?
A lot of it.
Well, talk about what you brought in today.
Well, the first thing is, as I mentioned earlier, the rolls. You know, as the only grandson of my grandmother, every holiday I got the first plate of her biscuits. So I'm spoiled on them.
So
we're now serving
spoiled brat.
Yeah, I was and am.
Right.
And then the other two dishes. One is a duck salad. It's a little fall duck salad. It's braised duck with some kabocha squash and some blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of a cumin.
I do believe we
cumin
should
vinegar.
Try.
All right, be careful.
And then the towering thing you see coming your way is.
Yes.
It's a campiche. It's a Shrimp, blue crab, tomato, serrano, a little bit of lime.
And pickled vegetables?
And little pickled vegetables on the side.
Love it. Yep. All right. We need to take a quick break.
Perfect.
But when we you can eat while we're on break. Relax. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be talking more with Jeff Black. I think we're going to be sipping some cocktails. And we got tea. We got Supergirl. We've got Oktoberfest. It's a full show. We'll be right back.
Founding Farmers is the number one booked restaurant on OpenTable in the United States for 9 months running. And soon they'll open the doors of their new restaurant in Park Potomac, Maryland. Top talent is needed for server, bartender, pastry, and line cook positions to work at Potomac's Founding Farmers, where the best from American family farmers make up an original menu of great food for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch. An award-winning mixology program and other unique offerings make Potomac's Founding Farmers the place to be. Training starts October 15th. Visit wearefoundingfarmers.com for details and to apply online today.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Computers are a wonderful tool, but every day children are sexually solicited online. Protect your kids online. Visit cybertipline.com. Help delete online predators.
Hi, I'm Congressman Jerry Connolly. I want your children to be safe online. Talk with your kids about online safety. Know who is communicating with your child.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies. And your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and Jeff Black and the Wilder Brothers. And the Wilder Brothers are over there making some kind of a chemical combo
thing. And, two kind of things.
And so real quick, you got a bocce ball court inside the bar?
We do. We have two indoor bocce ball courts. We worked with the Bocce League of D.C.,
There's a bocce league of D.C.?
There is. Very, very, very
serious. It's
very
no
serious.
Joke.
They gave us exactly the spec they wanted, and we built it to what they'd asked, and the Wilder Brothers came up with some cocktails to go with it.
Well, before we get into their cocktails, I do want to say, I mean, right now your place is slammed. There's lots of people in there. So can you tell people about, since you cannot make a reservation, how you get into the restaurant?
Come early.
Through the door.
Don't say you know Jeff Black because it's not going to do you any
good. It's not
going to
work.
Yeah, I tried that. And they said who?
Yeah. No, it has been well received, and it's a smaller restaurant. But the upstairs, we have an entirely different menu. So a lot of people go upstairs and have cocktails. And,
is it as crowded upstairs?
No, upstairs you can generally get a table. I mean, it's much bigger upstairs.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So there's room to spread out. So
all right.
Wilder dudes.
Brothers. Tell us about some of the drinks that you're specifically doing for the bocce court.
Well, we're doing a couple very innovative cocktails, and then an array of classic adaptations. So.
Okay, give me an idea of what an innovative cocktail is.
Well, our cigar cocktail, we're tying up ice and cheesecloth with in the same smoker we produce our andouille sausage. Mm-hmm. Capturing all those meaty flavors in the ice as it melts. Then we're refreezing it with peach nectar, floating a mezcal cocktail on top, and garnishing it with a cigar of charcuterie.
And it's delicious.
Oh, my God. That sounds like an awful lot of work.
Good.
All right, well, tell us what we got right here, and then we're going to move on.
So we're making all our own cassis, peach liqueurs, apple liqueurs. Here we have our cassis liqueur, Tito's vodka,
mm-hmm.
and our house ginger beer,
cool.
which we make in-house. And
and that's called the Blue Vein.
This is the Blue Vein.
This is the Blue Vein, and that's
this is the bull's blood.
Okay, cool.
Bull's head.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming in and making all this stuff. It looks delicious.
I better try that so I can go to my 2 o'clock.
Right. Really, pass it on.
I'm passing down.
Or you can get up and move it down.
All right. And make sure everybody knows where the restaurant is. Yeah.
Real quick, we're at 1612 14th Street. Very easy to remember, 16 and 12 with 14 in
between. It's my favorite year, 16, 12. And what about online?
Online, it's Black Restaurant Group or at pearldiverestaurant.com.
Okay.
So,
good luck.
Thanks,
why am I saying good luck?
Thanks for having us. It's always fun.
All right.
Yeah, thank you for coming in.
So we can't get a reservation, huh?
No.
I know you're a number.
All right.
All right, thanks, man.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Lori, let's get back to you. Okay, so when we stopped talking with you, you were telling us about all these different kinds of teas.
Right.
So, but tea is all from one plant,
correct? All comes from the same plant. It's the terroir, the area that it's grown, and the way it's manufactured that gives you your different flavor. A really good comparison is, say, take the Chardonnay grape. The Chardonnay grape, if you grow it in the Champagne region and you produce it Méthode Champenoise, you get Blanc de Blanc Champagne.
Right.
If you take that Chardonnay grape and you grow it in Napa Valley and you process it with the oak barrel fermentation, you get that very California oaky style of Chardonnay.
Right.
But if you take that Chardonnay grape and you grow it down in South Africa and you steel barrel ferment it, it's a very clean, crisp flavor. So you've got the same grape grown in three different regions,
produced
processed three different ways, you get three different flavors.
Well, that's the same effect on the leaf.
That's the same effect with tea. And then green tea and black tea are from the same plant. It's just a matter of whether it's oxidized or not, whether the enzymes in the leaf are allowed to be exposed to the air and turn dark and change flavor, which is what gives us black tea, or green tea, the oxidation is not allowed to happen. Now, there's an in-between tea called oolong.
I was just going to ask about
it. Right, and that is oxidized partially. Some oolongs tend to be more greenish because they're only oxidized a little bit. Some oolongs tend to be more like a black tea because they're almost fully oxidized. So there's a really wide range in teas. As a matter of fact, this is an oolong. Look at these tiny little balls of Tea Kuan Yin that are...
Pass it down.
But this is what it looks like when you brew it and it unfurls. I opened that and then let it dry. So can you imagine that large leaf starting out in that tiny little ball?
No,
and that's an oolong. And the neat thing about oolongs, you can infuse them 2 and 3 times because more flavor tends to come out as you re-steep it and the leaf unrolls.
Fantastic.
All right, so,
okay, so what are you going to pour? Are we doing oolong next? What are we doing next?
This is actually, because I know you like ginger, this is a lemon ginger green tea.
Terrific.
It's a green tea base with some lemongrass and lemon myrtle and some ginger root in it.
Oh, it smells delicious. Okay, we are going to pour some of this.
And I'm going to bring Steve Menino in here.
Hi, hello,
Steve.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
So, Steve is the executive chef at Rustico in Boston.
And I don't think we've had you in.
Not yet.
No. Yeah. Well, welcome to the show.
He cooks like a monster. Many a good meal out there. But let's start with the 411 on you, because you've kind of been in a couple of good places. You started off downtown.
You have a rep.
Weren't you
at
Olive's?
A bit of a rep.
I was at Olive's for 6 years.
So tell us about how you got into it and how you wound up at Rustico.
How I got into Rustico, I was in Las Vegas. We had left D.C. to go back to the Bellagio. Todd had a restaurant out there, so we went out that way. And once our second son was born, we just couldn't raise our kids in Las Vegas. So we wanted
too much.
That's what I always wanted.
So we moved back. Actually, we went to Atlantic City, which was the one city worse than Las Vegas to raise kids.
I was going to say, wow.
But after that, we wanted to come back down here. We loved living in D.C.
Todd is Todd English, right?
Yeah, exactly. Then I worked for Steven Starr, opened a pier in Caesars. So we did that and left Atlantic City. Me and my wife looked at each other and says, you know, where are we going to raise these kids? And we wanted to move back to D.C. area. We loved it here. So we moved out to Leesburg, came here and... did a, you know, another project out west in Dulles, and then a mutual friend put myself and Michael Babin together, and was looking to do a restaurant with Michael, and you know, he said, you know, I want to change Rustico a little bit. I want somebody that's going to do some good rustic food, and he said, I don't think there's anybody better for that, and I want you to take them over, and we want to do a bunch of these, and let's have some fun. So.
Well, so when you came into Rustico, so the one was already open.
Alexandria was open, yeah.
On Slater's Lane. But tell us how the new one and the older one, like what you changed on the menus and how you feel they've evolved.
We've changed everything.
Okay.
Pretty much everything except for the pizzas. We've actually tweaked the pizza dough. You know, we've added a few things that I like to do to pizza, and you know, we've made our dough a little different. But all the menu, we've added a lot more salads. You know, when I got there, we asked a lot of people, you know, what do you want out of this restaurant? And there was not enough appetizers. not enough salads, that kind of stuff. So we added
Doing that hummus?
I am. I can't take it off
now. Favorite item.
Yeah, that went on day one, and people love it. So the carrot hummus, you know, it's... with the lamb on top. It's hugely popular. We do the grilled Caesar, which people love.
Look at her. That's like an unsolicited testimonial. Not bad.
I do love it.
We, changed the burger a little bit, you know, just... did a lot of fun stuff. It's very approachable. It's not pretentious. Mm-hmm. It's just meant to be fun and good food. So
okay, so let's talk. You guys do a huge Oktoberfest.
We do.
Every year. I mean, NRG is known for their beer program. Mm-hmm. You have, Birch and Barley, sure, and Turchke. And Rustico actually was where the beer program started it because Greg Engert was there.
Sure.
So how has the Oktoberfest, how is it kicking off this year?
It's next Saturday from 12 to 5.
You know, I have Lederhosen at home, pal.
I've seen it.
We are, from 12 to 5. It's in our back parking lot. We clear the whole thing out, and we bring in 90 kegs. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like an awful lot.
Yeah, we go through it.
I bet.
Every year we've increased. We've increased the amount of people
that have come.
Where
do you get 90 kegs from?
Yeah, beer distributors. They love it. You know, so it's mm-hmm. getting the boxes to put them in is the hard part. It's not the kegs. The cold boxes and all that kind of stuff. Trying to keep everything cold. That's the hard part. But, we have a ton of food we're doing this year. Mm-hmm. We're doing, Buzz is going to do all the desserts and stuff. You know, so a lot of
let's slow down. That's Buzz Bakery.
Sure.
Out on Slater's Lane across from the original
Tiffany. With Tiffany. Yep. She's going to do
Tiffany McIsaac.
Yep.
Pastry chef to the stars.
But which Rustico is it at? It's not at
the original.
And you guys take the street?
We can't take the street, unfortunately. We take the whole back parking lot and the back of Buzz's parking lot.
Oh, okay. Well,
so we're expecting about 4,000 people this year.
Wow.
So it does. It gets fun.
I bet. It sounds like a lot of fun. And are you cooking specific things?
Yeah, we have a whole menu for it. We're doing 6 different stations. We're actually taking and have people from DC Central Kitchen coming to help us. You know, a bunch of culinary students and stuff are coming to help us out to man some of the stations with us because both the restaurants will be open. Mm-hmm. But we're doing, we're doing this fall salad for it, kind of an apple and granola.
What about this sandwich?
So that is a pork schnitzel sandwich.
I think I should taste that.
A little bit of mustard and cabbage and cheese.
That's the only reason I'm on this stupid show. Let me have that thing.
We're doing a beer and brat soup too. Also on the end, we're doing some fun stuff.
Loves want to take a big bite. Hello, you got that camera?
So, and how do you come up with these? Were you just like having?
We're just you search around. I mean, I'm not German. We look around, see what other October.
With a name like Menino,
we see what other Oktoberfest food there is. Just try to put a twist on it. We are doing some turkey legs, but being from upstate New York, we're going to buffalo them. Just some fun stuff. Trying to have people have fun. With a little bit of Oktoberfest undertones to it. So,
well, now that we are into fall, and I know NRG works very hard to do local sourcing. Mm-hmm. You work with Arcadia Farm, which
all the charity for that is the money that's made from Oktoberfest goes to Arcadia.
It does go to Arcadia.
Yeah, so we are trying.
So how do you change your menu now that we're getting into fall? I mean, aside from the Oktoberfest features.
Are only for next Saturday.
So what are some of the ingredients like you're really looking forward to working with as the menu evolves into October?
Right now, we've actually switched some of it this week. We're using some scallops with cauliflower, which we love cauliflower in the fall. Mm-hmm. A lot of apples. We're doing a shaved apple salad, and, we love the granola and the apple together.
A good salad, too.
Yeah, the butternut squash we're doing a salad with, some fun stuff and cashews and different things. We try to incorporate as many fall items as we can. Mm-hmm. Pumpkin. We're doing this pumpkin pizza we put on. Honestly, I did a pumpkin pizza with a wild boar sauce.
That sounds good.
Just cut up pumpkin?
No, it's a pumpkin puree. And then we do a wild boar ragu. And then we do some goat cheese, caramelized onions, and we bake it. It comes out, and we put thinly sliced piece of prosciutto on top and some pumpkin seeds. I thought, this would be a pumpkin pizza. We'd sell it for a month. It would be more fun for me to have it on, and we've sold 30 a night.
Interesting.
We sell more of that than just our normal
prosciutto
pizza.
Sounds
I couldn't
terrible.
Believe it. So.
Oktoberfest.
But we're not talking that anymore.
Saying.
You're not even listening.
I am. No, I'm thinking.
So, we definitely try to switch more to the fall. We keep it very seasonal.
And how do you work with Tiffany McIsaac on desserts?
We collaborate. We say, hey, what do you got coming up? We try not to, if she's doing something for somebody else, we try to keep them different. We always have a cheesecake. We do the donuts, my grandma's donuts. We do that. That sells a lot. We do a different version of like a sundae or something else. We always try to keep it pretty seasonal with her. She's into it, and so let me just say, hey, Tiff.
That could be the title of your cookbook, My Grandma's Donuts.
Yeah.
And then we have Jeff Black's Grandma's Biscuits.
That's it. So we
grandmas are getting ripped off all over the place.
Yeah. We definitely collaborate, a lot, and just we talk all the time. And you're like, hey, we're planning on switching this week or that week, and what do you have, and what can we do, So
all right, great. All right, fun. We have to take a quick break. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are eating an awful lot.
Are, I am.
No, you are. Well, that's par for the course. But we have lots more coming up in just a bit. We'll be right back.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, a jaw,
shortness of breath.
Please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath. Cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and need the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
911. Founding Farmers is the number one booked restaurant on OpenTable in the United States for 9 months running. And soon they'll open the doors of their new restaurant in Park Potomac, Maryland. Top talent is needed for server, bartender, pastry, and line cook positions to work at Potomac's Founding Farmers, where the best from American family farmers make up an original menu of great food for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch. An award-winning mixology program and other unique offerings make Potomac's Founding Farmers the place to be. Training starts October 15th. Visit wearefoundingfarmers.com for details and to apply online today.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and Steve Menino is in the house talking about what's going on at Rustico. Listen, we've got about 2 minutes.
Yep.
Why don't you give everybody the basics on Oktoberfest so they can be sure to show up and make it 4,000 and 500 people.
It will be at the Slater's Lane restaurant, 827 Slater's Lane, Alexandria, Virginia, right in the back parking lot.
Right.
You know, there is definitely incentives to take. We have a shuttle from the metro, so we and then there's not a lot of parking, so it does get tough with that. But you know, there is some parking spots, but definitely use the metro.
Well, and I think it's important for people to know. I'm curious how you guys make that work if you don't have the street blocked off.
Right.
I mean, it's just
we have police officers that
you do.
Allow,
say,
you cannot carry
masses
a beer
of
across
people.
The street, but you know, we do have police officers that do stop the traffic.
What do people do, like throw everyone. It across the street? Like, here,
they
catch
finish
my
them real
beer.
Quick. No, they finish them real quick.
A couple of batons to the head and everything's fine.
Right. Well, let's talk about, I know you don't know what kind of beer is going to be there because Greg Engert
he's
is being a super secret guy about it. But you have so many beers at Rustico. How many beers do you guys carry now?
400.
400.
Plus. Yeah.
And is it just constantly revolving? Is like
a lot
stay?
Of it stays the same. You know, there's a lot that people love. You know, we try
Nick,
to keep...
our director, could drink all of them one night.
We keep them all very, you know, also seasonal with the beers and stuff comes in and out all the time. So,
well, especially now, right?
Right.
I mean,
correct.
Now
there's
like
a lot of
huge...
fun pumpkin stuff and spice stuff. So it's great.
To go with your pumpkin.
All right, you know what? Why don't you wrap this by giving the address on Slater's Lane? Let's make sure that everybody knows.
It is 827 Slater's Lane.
Okay.
And tell everybody where the Boston location is, please.
It is at 4075 Wilson Boulevard.
Okay, so it's right across.
In Boston, right across, catty corner to the mall.
Yeah. Right, and what people may not know is that both Rusticos have a buzz right across the way. Mm-hmm. So you go, you have your fabulous meal, and then you get a little
I've
treat.
Got a buzz at...
Afterwards.
Rustico.
Steve,
times.
Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's go back to Lori Bell. Lori.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to talk about, I know there's tea is so intricate. There's so many layers to it. But I think we were talking off mic about tea in restaurants.
Right.
So do you blend your own teas? How does it work?
I have two goals in my business, my Great Falls Tea Garden. I do educational tea tasting so people can learn about loose leaf premium teas, learn the difference between all these different styles of teas. And in those classes, we do some single origin teas, like the Dragon Well Lung Ching that you tasted was a single origin. That lemon ginger is a blended tea
It's delicious.
Right. So I do a little bit of both. And Riss Restaurant, which everybody knows downtown, serves my loose leaf teas. It was very important to her to have a fine quality tea that people would remember when they leave. Restaurants tend to have these great drinks at the beginning, and maybe their bread basket is something that people talk about. And then somebody orders a cup of tea, and they get this little generic tea bag at the end with water that isn't even hot. So it was really important to Riss to be able to offer really premium tea. So I've done some blends for her. Mm-hmm. The breakfast blend is a blend. It's a good hearty blend. So someone that wants to go in and just get a good old cup of tea.
It's available.
It's available.
Okay,
wonderful
now you
flavor.
Did also make a tea cocktail.
Yes.
Which I think is so much fun. So tell us about that.
Well, tea isn't just to drink. You can use it in cocktails, which we did. These are mojitos. It's a version. I love mojitos. So this is a version made with Moroccan mint green tea. Mm-hmm. And, of course, rum and lime and sparkling water.
Great. Okay, when we get back, we'll talk about other uses.
Great.
All right. For tea.
So,
because now we're going to talk to Supergirl.
She's taking Tacoma Park by storm. It's comedian turned Supergirl, Sarah Polin.
I love that you are
Sarah,
a comedian.
I want to ask a question.
Please.
And this is a serious. I've been messing with you a lot because of the Supergirl thing. But how long after your spaceship crash landed from Krypton?
Such a jerk. Don't even answer
did you
that.
Realize that you had super, you know, powers?
I didn't need to crash. I knew it before it crashed.
Really?
I am that smart.
A lot of soup on Krypton?
I am that smart.
No, seriously. Tell us your story. Seriously, me. Tell us your story.
Well, a couple years ago, I was. I would say I'm one of those people of my generation just kind of lost. I was kind of looking for...
We have a couple kids like that.
I should talk to them.
We're on Idaho Avenue in case you...
I needed a map to get here. But so I was kind of looking for something to do, kind of direction, as my parents would call it. Mm-hmm. And
did they say, you have so much potential?
A lot of lectures about my potential. Mm-hmm. And I was a comedian for a while, and I loved that, but... I got a little tired of living in New York, and then I moved here and I worked for a friend for a while, and then I read The Omnivore's Dilemma, and I had one of those aha moments, which I'm very grateful for. And I knew I wanted to be involved in the local food movement, but I didn't really know how. And first I thought I'd do an ice cream company, like working with local dairies, but the only thing I know about ice cream is how to consume large quantities.
Right.
And that wasn't really
That's really all you
to
need to know,
business.
Isn't it?
Well, I would, yeah.
You could develop a palate for it. It's important. I hear you.
And then a friend of mine said, you know, your mom makes amazing soups and that's really all you eat. And the wheel started turning and we started brainstorming. And a couple months later, Supergirl was born.
But I think what's interesting is that you did not start with a brick and mortar, right?
No, we've been in business for over 3 years now, delivering to people's homes and offices. That business we launched in November of 2010.
Don't worry, we won't test you on it later.
2008, okay. And
sounds like, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
It's all been a blur. I mean, I haven't slept since then. But we have this online business where people order online and we deliver directly to people's homes and offices. And we grew enough to justify opening a retail front. And it really wasn't our plan. We wanted to build an industrial kitchen and really grow the online piece.
Orders.
Yeah, and then a landlord found us, this wonderful guy, and he convinced us. We said no. We said we want to stick with what we know, and we went back and forth a lot, and he convinced us, and I'm so grateful that he did, and it's wonderful to have such a supportive landlord behind us. And then
I want to back up this. Sure. So how did it work? Because you still do orders.
We want to make sure our online customers know we are not. I think some of them think we're like abandoning them. That is the opposite. This kitchen is our hub.
Right.
And we really
like the commissary.
Yeah. We can produce a lot of soup out of this kitchen. So it serves the retail front. But we also are actively expanding our online business. In fact, we just now announced a new pickup location in the Kentlands out in Gaithersburg.
Fantastic.
We're working on Rockville and Potomac. Or we have Rockville. We're working on Kensington, Potomac. We're in conversations.
Did you call that guy I told you to call?
I'm calling him tomorrow.
Good.
And we are talking to a number of more Virginia locations. So we really want to expand the online
business.
But
how does it work? Do you have, like, say this week you're like, okay, I'm making six soups and this is what's available, or can people order what they want?
No, online we have two different soups a week.
Okay.
So I want people to understand, if they don't live in Tacoma, they can still get our soups. Everyone can get our soups. We'll deliver it right to you, or mm-hmm. you can pick them up
May
at a pickup
I interrupt
location.
Because I'd like to get your soup right
yeah,
now.
Please.
Give me one of them spoons.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Why do you think I'm on this show?
I don't know what you're
Those
doing
are forks.
Here.
Some foodie she is. Okay. Thank you.
So we plan our menu. We can't plan it more than about 2 or 3 weeks in advance, especially as the seasons change. For example, you know, you're supposed to have summer squash really available through the first frost. And we had summer squash on our menu, on our planned menu for a while. And then Hurricane Irene and Lee came and just devastated the crops and the tomato crops. So we had to just quickly overhaul our menu. So, you know, once we hit serious winter, you know, we stick with a lot of what we know, pumpkin, squash, sweet mm-hmm. potato, potatoes, carrots.
But do you only use, because when it comes to soups, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with canned tomatoes.
Yeah.
Will you not use them?
No,
I mean,
we
what,
do.
What is, where is your focus on
Our
that?
Focus is the primary ingredients. Mm-hmm. All the primary ingredients and the herbs need to be fresh and local. We're not going to do a pumpkin soup in July.
Okay.
And we're not going to do an asparagus soup in February.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes we will add some tomato paste or some diced tomatoes in to enhance a soup.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the primary ingredients are always going to be local. They're always going to be seasonal. And we really do focus.
And are you working? Because, I mean, being in Tacoma, you have the Tacoma Park Farmers Market. I mean, are you working with those farmers there?
We work with a lot of those farmers. We work. Our rule is basically if the Fresh Farm Markets group has approved a farm, we trust their approval process. So we'll work with those farms. So
okay.
We work with some farmer co-ops do deliver. There's one called Tuscarora Organic Co-op.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We love working with them because they deliver. And
right.
others, we have wonderful wholesale relationships with Garner's Produce and Toigo Orchards and Sunnyside Farm and Orchard. And
so all the big buzz names.
Yeah, all of those names. We have wonderful wholesale relationships and we just order a ton from them and we pick up from them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just cook and cook and cook from, you know, what they offer.
Well, and I want to bring up one other thing. I know you want to talk about eating.
I don't want to talk about eating. I've been eating.
Oh, okay, good. What about, so
Very
vegan and kosher? That seems extreme.
Well, I wanted to make life as difficult as possible for me when I launched my business, and I thought I'd put up as many obstacles as I could. No, basically, the vegan thing came about, it was kind of funny. We didn't realize I'm a vegetarian. I'm a responsible eating vegetarian. I'm not going to have like cheese whiz, but occasionally I'll indulge in something from like Firefly Farms.
No, I don't do that.
But we decided to go vegetarian because I'm a vegetarian. My mother is mostly vegetarian and I started the business with her. So
mm-hmm.
right away we knew we weren't going to cook with meat. And then we are extremely committed to being a healthy company. We go very low. There's very low fat, very low sodium. We know a lot of people add salt to our soups, and we get compliments on that all the time. Because
so you're not offended by that, by people adjusting seasonings.
I love watching people add. I think they should not add so much salt, but we want people to be able to add the salt as they please. And we find that a lot of people don't. They appreciate the low salt aspect of our soups. We had
mm-hmm.
one customer lose 25 pounds eating our soups. We made a real commitment.
Oh my God.
To going healthy.
Why are you looking at me when she said that?
Well, that's a soup is an incredible way to lose weight.
Yeah, well, our soups are filled
Wait a minute,
with,
whoa, whoa. If I lose 25 pounds, can I be your Jared?
I would love a Jared.
Awesome, I'll change
my name. I would love
a
Jared.
I'm going to tell you, Nikki brought home a bunch of soups. I ate
the gingery lentil.
Yeah, which
delicious.
Was delicious. But the yellow split pea, is
uh-huh.
that what it was?
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Which isn't yellow.
Thank you.
It's red.
Well, I think that had tomatoes in it.
Right.
Fresh tomatoes.
Right?
Yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we made a commitment. We said, you know, we started, okay, we're being healthy. We're not going to use cream. We're not going to use butter. And a couple of weeks in, we started seeing ourselves pop up on these vegan listservs. And we were like, oh my gosh, we're vegan. We didn't even realize
it. So that was...
And so we went through our recipes and removed any honey because honey is not vegan. We work with agave now. And we're vegan. And in terms of being kosher, I couldn't have it any other way. I was raised kosher.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel that the kosher community doesn't have enough options.
Or any options.
Right. It's
seriously.
A really underserved community. And
mm-hmm.
We're a vegan soup company. It was difficult. And there are continual challenges. But overall, the rewards, we love. People are really grateful. And it's worked out really well. It's difficult right now. We have to close for the Jewish holidays and
sure.
we can't be open on Saturday. But overall, the kosher community has been really supportive and people who aren't kosher don't know the difference.
Right, they don't care.
And we also a ton of our customers are not vegan. I would say most of our customers are not vegan.
Well, I'm not. I mean, you know, I've been in. I'm not vegan either. Okay, wait. We have to take a break.
Sure.
Okay, but we're going to get back.
We carnivores have to take a break.
Okay. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are sipping on soup, sipping on tea, and we're going to have some tea crackers in a little bit. We'll be back in just a sec.
The Caps are back to work, and the excitement is building. The Caps take on Southeast Division rivals, the Tampa Bay Lightning, on Monday, October 10th. Lock up your chance to check out new guys like Tomas Vokoun, Troy Brower, and Joel Ward. Skate alongside Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, Mike Green, and the rest of the Caps. This is the hottest ticket in town. The Caps have sold out over 100 straight games at Verizon Center, and tickets are extremely limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singleticks now and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
The Bethesda Central Farm Market, you guys, is awesome. They close off Elm Street in Bethesda every Sunday from 9 to 1. They've got 40-plus vendors with everything from local organic produce and meats and poultry and breads and coffee and chocolate and olive oils and cheeses and more. It's really unbelievable, and it's free parking, which I really love because you know I'm cheap. So go and check it out because we go there every week. We get fresh fruit and veggies and berries from Twin Springs Farms, a lot of great organic produce from Bending Bridge Farm. The guys at Walnut Hill have free-range eggs. There's cheese from Cowgirl Creamery, cookies, muffins, and cakes from Cat's Paw. I mean, it's an amazing assortment of vendors. So go to Bethesda Central Farm Market every Sunday from 9 to 1 in Bethesda on Elm Street. They close the street off, so it's easy walking around. And if you want to know more, go to BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com. If Foodie and the Beast tell you to go, it's good.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
The March of Dimes in FC Inova will honor women in the tech field who make a difference in their communities at the 11th annual Heroines in Technology Gala, Friday, October 21st at the Hyatt Regency Reston. From CEOs to entrepreneurs, these women exemplify volunteerism in our community. 20 finalists will be recognized and winners will be announced in 5 award categories, including the FCA International Government Award. Government finalists include Chief Kathy Lanier of the D.C. Metro Police Department and Catherine Hollis of the Defense Logistics Agency. In addition to the award presentation, the event will have a live and silent auction and a live band. To learn more about the nominees and to purchase tickets, please visit marchofdimes.com/metrodc. Proceeds will benefit the March of Dimes and its fight to prevent birth defects, premature birth, and infant mortality.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. And before we get back talking soup with Supergirl.
And salads.
Just want to thank the folks that make this show possible. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, the most awesome bagels ever.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborhood Restaurant Group. Actually, we had one of their guys in here today, but that's Buzz Bakery and Rustico and Evening Star, Vermilion, Birch and Barley, Church Key, and all
Tallulah.
Those guys. Our friends at Founding Farmers and the new Founding Farmers up in Potomac.
It's not open yet, but it will be soon.
Coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys at Modus Hospitality, Noti Bianchi, Dish, and Circle Bistro. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. Yes, a jeweler sponsors this show. To all the rest of you jewelers out there,
right.
Listen up. And Bethesda Central Farm Market. A lot of good stuff going on there. So back to Sarah and soup.
Well, let's talk salads. Or do you want to talk about kosher?
Yeah, I didn't expect you to bring in salads.
Well, what we did was last summer we decided... the first summer we launched, it actually was a beautiful summer in D.C. and it was cool in the evenings and it was great. Mm-hmm. The next summer, last summer, it was awful. It was brutally hot. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to add grain salads to our menu. Not green salads, but wheat berry, quinoa, bean salads, things like that.
Right.
So what I brought today was a wheat berry Waldorf. So it's a traditional Waldorf salad. Take out the greens, add wheat berries,
mm-hmm.
which are full of protein and fiber.
They're delicious. Yeah, I love them.
Super healthy. And then we have a white bean za'atar salad, which mm-hmm. Has a really unique flavor from za'atar. It's a Middle Eastern spice. And then it has Spanish smoked paprika and white beans that... some of them have been pureed, so it has like a creaminess to it. It tastes meaty.
It's got a real good, because there's nothing worse than kind of a bland, wet, quality kind of thing. This is delicious.
Thank you. He's selling it, right?
I like it. If I didn't like it, I would. If I didn't have something nice to say, I wouldn't say anything at all.
Thank you, David.
So we don't have a lot of time left. We want everybody to know where you are.
Yep.
And where they can order if they want to go that route. So okay. Tell everybody quickly.
So we are located at 314 Carroll Street in Tacoma. We are directly across the street from the Tacoma Metro, literally right across the street.
Great location.
Thank you. And if you want to, again, you do not need to live in Tacoma to get our soup. You can order online. The order window opens every Monday morning and stays open till Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And you just go to www.thesupergirl. And it's, don't forget the thesupergirl.com. Mm-hmm. And you can sign up to receive our weekly menu email every Monday morning. And we'll deliver it right to your door.
And, that's awesome. When you guys be sure to watch the TV show in 2 weeks on Washington Nonstop, because Sarah is so hot in that cape and those tights. I'm telling you.
You don't want to miss it.
Barely restrain myself.
Thank God Jeff Black didn't bring oysters in.
That's all I can say.
Do you also deliver the salad?
Yes, the salad.
Okay, so everything is deliverable. All right, great. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to say, listen, you know, we had a jam-packed show. There's so much to know about what's going on and what's available and what
you know,
to
we have
do.
To get back to Lori, right?
And yeah, I just want to make sure people know. Check out the list, areyouonit.com. It's free to subscribe, because you can find out about Supergirl and Lori and everything else that you heard about on the show today and lots more. So, Lori.
Yes.
I would love to talk about you. I mean, we had your tea cocktails, which were delicious.
Those mojitos are fun.
But clearly there's other uses for tea than just that nice hot cup of tea, and you brought in some examples today. Tell us about it.
Right. Well, cooking with tea is a lot of fun. I've made these shortbread cookies with my peachy green tea.
They're little leaves.
I, of course, had to make them into little leaves. This is what the tea is that I put in it. And, of course, tea is full of antioxidants. So when you cook with tea, you're also getting additional antioxidants. So it's a healthy thing to do. These smoky tea spice pecans are a big hit. The recipes for both of these items, aren't those good
these
cookies?
Are yummy.
Yeah, the recipe for both of these items, along with lots of others, are on my website, GreatFallsTeaGarden.com. You can also get information about the focused educational tea tastings that I do.
Well, let's talk about that. We have a couple minutes. Tell us about your tea education seminars and how people can get in on them. You do private ones. How does it work?
I do public ones. I do private ones. That information with the schedule is on the website. As a matter of fact, Monday, the 10th, I'm doing a tea and chocolate pairing. So we'll be talking about the botanical aspects and the similarities of the cacao tree and the tea plant, how they made it to America, and we pair them up. I've actually got some wonderful oolong that was grown and produced in Hawaii. Mm. I've got some chocolate that was grown and produced in Hawaii.
Right.
So a lot of fun things with tea that people just aren't aware of. Everyone thinks it's from all these other countries, but even the U.S. now is starting to grow tea
plants. I was just
going to
ask. I think people think tea is grown in Japan and China.
China, Japan, India,
That's where the phrase
Sri Lanka,
all the tea in China comes from.
Exactly. the East Coast of Africa, those are all the places that tea is traditionally from. Mm-hmm. There's been down in South Carolina a tea plantation for 100-plus years down near Charleston, but it doesn't produce a lot of tea, and it produces a somewhat generic style of tea. Mm-hmm. But the tea that they're growing in Hawaii is just premium flavors to them. Greens, oolongs, black. They're still on the expensive side because it's all still very much hand done. But,
interesting.
But it's a lot of fun to learn all these different styles of teas, and that's what we do in the classes. We look at all the various types of leaves. We taste the various styles. We learn about the botanical aspects. So that way, when people go into a store and